Title: Making a Vinyl Rip Cleanup Workflow Intermediate. Alright, welcome in. Today we're building a repeatable vinyl rip cleanup workflow in Ableton Live, specifically aimed at drum and bass and jungle. The goal is simple: get vinyl samples clean enough to slice, layer, and mix in a modern DNB session without sanding off the character that made you rip it in the first place. Vinyl rips are insanely useful for breaks, stabs, vocals, pads, little atmospheric bits, but they usually come with a list of problems: low-end rumble, clicks and pops, hiss, stereo wobble, level inconsistencies, sometimes even that off-center warbling feel. If you try to use that raw in a 174 BPM project, it'll steal headroom, mess up your sub, and make your drums feel inconsistent. So we're going to build a stock device chain, turn it into a rack you can reuse, and set up a print and export workflow that keeps everything fast. Before we touch any devices, let's set up the session so you don't end up in a messy, one-off rescue mission every time. Create a dedicated live set for cleanup. Name it something obvious, like Vinyl Rips Cleanup. The idea is, you do cleanup in here, then export your cleaned files into your actual DNB production set. This helps you stay objective, because if you clean inside a full mix, you'll start mixing the sample instead of fixing it. Set your sample rate to match the rip if possible. A lot of rips are 44.1k, so that's a safe default. Now create three audio tracks. First track, Rip Raw. This is where the vinyl file lives, untouched. Second track, Clean Print. This is where we record the cleaned result. Third track, Reference. Optional, but helpful. Drop in a clean, modern DNB track that you trust. Not to copy it, just to sanity check brightness, low-end tightness, and whether you're overcleaning. Cool. Now bring your vinyl rip onto RIP-RAW. Step 1 is gain staging. This matters more than people think, because if you start cleaning a clipped or super hot file, every processor reacts worse and you'll chase problems that are basically level related. Put a utility first on RIP-RAW. Use it purely as an input trim. Adjust the gain so your loudest peaks hit around -6 dBFS on the track meter. If the rip is really hot, don't be shy. -6 to -12 dB is fine. Headroom is your friend here. Quick reality check. If the file is already clipped, like you can see flat tops on the waveform, stock Ableton devices won't truly unclip it like dedicated restoration tools. So don't obsess. Just avoid making it worse, and focus on making it usable. Now we start the actual cleanup, and we'll do it in stages. Think checklist, not one mega chain. The order we're going for is sub control first, then transient and click issues, then tonal balance, then dynamics. And a coach note, if you change something later, like doing a big EQ move, go back and recheck earlier stuff. A gate threshold that was perfect before EQ might start chopping ghost notes after EQ. Stages. Recheck. That's the workflow. Next device. EQ 8, right after the utility. First job. Rumble removal. Vinyl rumble is one of the biggest headroom killers in DNB, because it lives exactly where your kick and sub want to dominate. We're not trying to make it sterile, we're trying to keep the sub region reserved for your own low end later. In EQ 8, enable a high pass filter. Use a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. If you're cleaning a full break or a full loop, start around 25 to 35 Hz. That's usually enough to remove turntable and room junk without thinning the break. If you're cleaning something that is not meant to have bass pads, stabs, vocals, little melodic phrases, start much higher, like 60 to 120 Hz. DNB mixes are dense, and you do not need random vinyl low-end haze fighting your kick. Here's the technique. Sweep the cutoff upward until the rumble clears, then back it off slightly. Don't do it visually. Listen for when the low end stops wobbling and your limiter stops freaking out later. Now, stereo control. A lot of vinyl rips have unstable stereo in the low end, and that becomes a phase problem when you layer modern drums and sub. So we're going to lock down the bottom. Add another utility after EQ 8. Turn on bass mono. Set it around 120 Hz as a starting point. That's a nice DNB zone, because it keeps the deep bass and low fundamentals centered, while still letting hats and roominess stay wide. If the rip is super wide and feels like it's swaying around, reduce width a bit. Try 80 to 100%. Don't instantly collapse everything to mono unless you have to. Your goal is stable, not small. And do a quick mono compatibility check early. Temporarily set width to 0%. Listen and ask, do the cymbals vanish? Does the low end hollow out? If yes, fix it now with bass mono and width control before you print anything. It saves you from exporting something that later falls apart in a club system. Next up, Click Send Pops. Stock Ableton isn't a full restoration suite, but you can still get a lot done if you're smart and you triage. Here's the rule. Fix what draws attention at DNB tempo. Many tiny clicks disappear once you chop a break and layer it. Don't waste an hour polishing microscopic dust. Prioritize three things: huge spikes, clicks on exposed intros or tails, and clicks that land on kick or snare transients, because those read as distortion. Option A is manual microfades, and this is the best approach for important one-shots or exposed moments. Zoom in on the big pop, bullet around it, then add tiny fades, like half a millisecond to 5 milliseconds. Most clicks are basically instant discontinuities, and a micro fade smooths that out without changing the sound. Option B is using a gate to reduce noise between hits, especially useful on breaks. Place the gate after your stereo utility. Set it gently. We're not trying to hard gate it into silence. Start with return around -10 to -20 dB. That means when the gate closes, it doesn't slam to zero. It just drops the noise floor a bit and keeps some vinyl air, which helps it feel natural. Set attack fast, around 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Hold around 20 to 60 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Now adjust threshold while listening to the groove. And this is important for jungle. Ghost notes are part of the pocket. If you hear pumping, or if little snare ghosts start disappearing, ease the threshold down, or increase the release time so it breathes more naturally. If you want an even safer approach later, you can do a parallel gate trick, where you put the gate on a return track and blend it in, so you lower the perceived noise and gaps without chopping transients. But for today, we'll keep it straightforward and stock inline. Next stage, tame hiss and harshness without killing the brightness. This is the part where people either leave it too crunchy and fatiguing, or they overcorrect and the break loses its sparkle. We want crisp tops, but not painful tops. Add a second EQ8 after the gate. This one is for tone shaping, not rumble. Listen for harsh resonances, often in the 3 to 6 kHz range. Use a narrow notch and pull it down gently. Don't go hunting for 10 notches. Usually one or two small fixes beats a complicated surgery EQ that changes the vibe. Then consider a gentle high shelf down, -1 to -4 dB at around 10 to 14 kHz, with a wide Q, around 0.7-ish. That can take the edge off hiss, while still leaving enough attack on hats. If harshness is dynamic, meaning it only jumps out on certain hits, EQ alone can feel like it's always compromising. That's where multiband dynamics comes in. Add multiband dynamics after the second EQ8. Focus mainly on the high band, like 6 kHz and up as a ballpark. Set a light ratio, around 1.3 to 1 up to maybe 2 to 1. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction only when it spikes. The moment it starts sounding watery or brittle, you've gone too far. Now we stabilize dynamics. This is about making the break easier to slice and sit consistently under modern drums. We're not mastering it. We're just making it behave. Add glue compressor next. Set attack to about 3 milliseconds. Release to auto, or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, if you want to be more specific. Ratio at 2 to 1. Now bring the threshold down until you see about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Light glue. You should feel it get slightly more controlled, not squashed. Then, optionally, add a limiter at the end purely as a safety net. Set the ceiling to -1 dB. Do not smash it. If you see it constantly limiting, go back and lower levels earlier. The limiter is just there to catch surprise spikes, especially if the rip has random thumps. Now, very important coach habit, a slash B with loudness matching. If the cleaned version is louder, you will think it's better even if you destroyed the punch. So put one more utility at the very end of the chain, and use it as an output trim for comparisons. Toggle the whole rack on and off and match perceived loudness. That's how you make good decisions fast. At this point, you've basically built the cleanup chain. Now we turn it into a reusable rack. On Rip Raw, your device order should be utility for input gain, EQ8 for high pass and basic cleanup, utility for bass mono and width, gate for gentle noise control if needed, EQ8 for tone and harshness, multiband dynamics for high band taming if needed, glue compressor for light control and limiter for safety. Select them all and group them into an audio effect rack. Name it Vinyl Cleanup Rack. Save it to your user library and tag it so you can find it later, like sampling, final, DNB. Now let's talk warp and timing, because for DNB this is where a lot of vinyl rips either become gold or become a headache. Old breaks drift. Some drift is the vibe, but you still need it controlled enough that bar lines make sense and slicing doesn't turn into chaos. First, decide your goal. If you're doing classic break slicing, you can keep warping minimal and preserve feel. If you're building a modern roller loop that needs to sit tight on the grid, you'll warp more deliberately. Turn warp on in the clip. For breaks, try complex or complex pro if it's more tonal. But for crisp transients, beats mode often keeps snap better. In beats mode, start with preserve set to transients. Envelope can be low, like 0 to 20, depending on how tight you want it. Lower is tighter and more choppy, higher is smoother. Set the first downbeat so that 1.1.1 lands on the first real transient. Then add warp markers only where it drifts. Don't pepper markers everywhere. Overwarping creates weird phasing and that pulled apart sound. Check against a simple 170 to 175 BPM click or a basic kick, and make sure bar lines land where you expect while keeping the micro swing. Now we commit. Printing is where this becomes a workflow instead of a science project. Route rep raw to clean print. Set rep raw audio to clean print. Set clean print monitoring to in. Arm clean print and record the cleaned version in real time. Once you've recorded a good section, consolidate it so it becomes one clean file. Then export it. Export as 24-bit WAV. No dither unless you're doing final delivery, which you're not right now. Name it in a way that helps future you. Something like Break MN Vinyl Clean 170 BPM. Include BPM and maybe a note like dark or bright if you printed variations. And I really recommend printing multiple versions. A clean one, a slightly darker one with a bit more top cut, and a slightly brighter one. When you're arranging, having options is faster than reopening cleanup decisions. Now, what do you actually do with these cleaned files in a DNB context? For break workflow, right-click the clip and slice to a new MIDI track by transients. Load it into drum rack. Now you can program patterns. Classic chop jungle, two-step, ghost notes, little fills, all with way more control. For layering, duplicate the cleaned break and assign roles by frequency, not volume. This audio version is shortened for playback.